the story is told that the Caliph Harun al-Rashid was one day seized by an unusual desire that is unusual even for a caliph. He had the desire to get some scientific information. So he called in the wisest man available, and he was very wise indeed, of course, and the caliph asked him, "I have heard that the earth is not quite flat, and I just cannot believe it." And the wise man said, "Commander of the faithful, few men know it, but the earth is indeed not flat. The earth is the back of a giant turtle with sleepy eyes." And the caliph, whose scientific interest has been now thoroughly aroused, asked, "But where is this turtle? Does he stand or does he swim?" The wise man said, "Commander of the faithful, this is a great secret, but the turtle swims in a big sea without a name." And the caliph thereupon asked the question, "But where is that sea?" And the wise man said, "The answer to that question only I know in the whole world, and I found it out myself. This sea is in a big ball carried on the back of a white elephant with golden tusks. But, Commander of the faithful, on what the white elephant stands, nobody in the world knows." Well, our knowledge today about the world is a little bit different from the knowledge of that wise man. We know, of course, and you all know, that the world is not flat, and that is our earth is completely round. We know that it is sort of a big object, even though these days one can travel around it without too much difficulty. How big it is, I want to tell you, just for one reason, because I would like to help you get a measure of how big other things are. And in a strange way, this measure is obtained by thinking about a thing that travels very, very fast indeed. And that thing is light. Light travels so fast that if it could be made to travel on a curved path, it would travel around the Earth 7.5 times in 1 second. Now, this will help us to understand how big the rest of the universe is. The closest object outside the Earth, the object to which we shall first get when all of us space travelers really get going, is of course the Moon. And that is approximately so far away that light takes 1 second to get from the Moon to us, or of course from us to the Moon. Nevertheless, when you travel to the Moon yourself, you will have to take a little longer time than this 1 second, although it might not be, when we learn how to do it, much longer than the time will take to go from New York to Los Angeles. Then, beyond the Moon, of course, the next really big object is the Sun. That is far enough away so that light takes approximately 8 minutes to get from the Sun to the Earth. This is a distance which we call, therefore, 8 light minutes. Now, I cannot go on and talk about other things, before I have told you a few things about the sun, some of which you may know already. One thing is that all the heat, all the light, or most of it anyway, that we get here on Earth comes from the sun. But if we may follow the example of Harun al-Rashid and be a bit too inquisitive, we might ask, from where does the sun take its energy? How does it make all this heat and light? Now that, fortunately, we can tell you, and very many of us know it now, and it has been found out quite a few years ago. The sun takes its energy from, now I have to use a long word, but one which is already a bit familiar and is going to get more and more familiar, of course. The sun makes its energy from thermonuclear reactions. And I should like to tell you in a very few words what this means. When we get heat out of a fireplace, what happens in the fireplace that the smallest parts into which matter can be divided, the atoms, get into new combinations with each other, and while they get into these new combinations, they acquire a lot of energy, a lot of agitation, and that agitation is what we call heat. But the atoms are not really the smallest things. At the center of the atoms are other objects called the nuclei, which are very, very much smaller still than the atoms, and which contain all the mass, or almost all the mass of the atoms, which are nothing like atoms. Now, such nuclei almost never get together and react with each other, but if they do, and they do it at the high temperatures inside the sun, then they release a very great amount of energy, and that is what keeps the sun going and what keeps all the stars going, because you know that the stars are similar things like the sun itself. Of course, I was carried away and I started to talk now about small things rather than about what I should be talking here, namely about big things. And so let's go and see what's farther outside. Around the sun, there are a number of planets moving. One of them is the Earth. It is one of the smaller and closer planets in the outer, distant, frozen places. Very uninviting for space travelers, of course. There are much bigger objects like Jupiter and Saturn, and then dimmer little objects, but still bigger, much bigger than the Earth. And light will travel many hours to get from the sun to these. And what comes outside these? Well, outside of this planetary system, there comes nothing. And after that nothing, there comes more nothing. And after that nothing, there comes lots more of the nothing that we call space. Now, the space is not quite empty. You will find in it approximately one of the smallest atoms, a hydrogen atom, in a space which we call a cubic centimeter, which is just a little bit smaller than a cubic inch. In a cubic inch, you might find, well, maybe 20 hydrogen atoms. But otherwise, you have nothing at all except great emptiness. A little bit more than 100 years ago, astronomers succeeded to find at the end of the emptiness a star at a definite distance. Before that, of course, we have seen the stars, but we did not have any idea at all how far each of these stars should be. And it is remarkable how recent the time is when, for the first time, it was possible to say definitely this is how far away a definite star will be. Well, I can tell you that the nearest star is so far away that light takes approximately 3 years to travel from that star to us. And here you will see a little bit of a difficulty in the way of people who want to explore space. Because in our own solar system, it may well turn out that the only comfortable planet is the Earth. Now, outside our solar system, there are many, many stars. And nobody has seen planets around these stars, but I'm quite confident that many of these distant stars do have planets. But it might take a little time to get to these distant objects, because even light takes 3 years to get to the closest one of them. Now, of these stars, you know, there are very many. With your naked eye, you can see, I think, under the best conditions, a couple of thousand. But with a good telescope, you can see many, many, many more. And you can observe a wee whitish band in the sky, the Milky Way. And you know, of course, very well that this Milky Way is composed itself of countless stars, more stars than even the best telescope can distinguish from each other. Nevertheless, we are beginning to get an idea how this Milky Way looks as a whole. And we get an idea because we know that similar objects exist outside the Milky Way system. These are called the spiral nebulae. But I won't talk about them for the moment. I will merely talk about the Milky Way system. It consists of billions of stars, such as the Sun. And these billions of stars are spread out over a giant disk. I shouldn't say over, throughout a giant disk. The thickness of this disk is a few thousand light years. That is, for light to cross the thin direction of the disk will take about a length of time like 2,000 years, a little longer maybe. But for light to go from end to end of the disk takes a lot longer, maybe 40,000 light years, although the outer ends are not very clearly defined, because as you go farther and farther out, you are going to find fewer and fewer stars, and you cannot very easily say, these are the city limits. These stars are by no means uniformly distributed throughout the Milky Way. Rather, there are lots more near the center of it. At the center, you have an assembly of very closely packed stars. They are still far from each other, but they are much closer to each other than stars in our neighborhood. If we could see this center of the Milky Way system, it would appear to our eyes as an object one-tenth as bright as the full moon. However, we can't see it because it is covered up by a dark cloud of fine dust. Dust particles which one finds out in these spaces and which are very far from each other, the individual dust particles. Yet, the whole dust cloud is deep enough that in the end, you do not succeed in seeing through it. In a way, you do succeed in seeing through it, however. Because from all over the place, and in particular from the center of the Milky Way system, there come noises. The stars do not make only light. They send out all kinds of other signals. In particular, they send out radio signals. We get such radio signals from individual stars at considerable distances. But we get more radio signals from the center of the Milky Way system than we get from anywhere else. And these radio signals confirm an old suspicion which we had now for many years, that in a certain apparently dark direction, there actually must be very many stars, and that is the direction in which the center of the Milky Way system is found. Now I would like to talk to you a little bit more about the interior of our Milky Way system, about a few individual stars. Just without any particular reason, but some of these stars are really spectacular. Some of them are big tenuous gas masses in which the material is no denser than in what an experimental physicist will call a moderately good vacuum. In some other stars, the density, these stars are called the white dwarfs, in these the density is so great that I could not hold up in my hand the weight of 1 cubic inch of this material. Very much less than that even. One finds in these stars densities 100 times surpassing the densest materials here available on Earth. But these are just ordinary atoms pressed together peculiarly strongly. There are some stars which pulsate and some stars which explode. The exploding stars are called new stars, or novae. Some of them are particularly violent exploders. They are called, of course, the supernovae. They do not occur very frequently, once every few 100 years, but we see such very big explosions elsewhere in the universe, and about that I will talk in a very short time. Right in our system, such an explosion, we know from the Chinese annals, has occurred a little bit more than 900 years ago. At the place of that explosion, we now see a faint star, a diffuse system called the Crab Nebula, and also a lot of radio noise, these agitated masses which stream out from the original position of the supernova, are still sending out radio signals. Incidentally, we know a very great deal about this Chinese supernova for a very simple reason. A short time before the supernova exploded, there was an eclipse, and this eclipse was not predicted by the Chinese astronomers. And two of these Chinese astronomers, the two chief ones, lost their heads for not predicting the eclipse. Therefore, when the supernova appeared, the head of the chief astronomer felt a little funny. And not having predicted it, and being fortunate enough to keep a somewhat shaky head on his shoulders, he very carefully recorded from day to day the appearance of the supernova, and now, due to the duress under which this poor Chinese astronomer found himself, we have very complete records of the supernova which has originally given rise to the Crab Nebula and its radio noise. But I have promised to tell you what is outside the Milky Way system. And outside the Milky Way system is really nothing. Not even an atom in a cubic inch. And quite probably not even an atom in a cubic foot. And how much less than that, I cannot possibly tell you. I do not know. And at the end of that nothingness, there is again something else. And that something else is a little farther away than 1,000,000 light years. Light takes 1,000,000 years to come from that distant place to us. And that distant place is called the Andromeda Nebula. It is a big thing, at least it is big in reality. To our eyes, it just seems like a tiny speck. But in a telescope, it looks like a beautiful spiral. This whitish mass is a collection of stars, of which we can see only the very brightest. And then, if there is a supernova in Andromeda that explodes with such brilliance that this individual explosion we can see. The Andromeda Nebula is not the only one of these objects. Far from it. There are many, many other such nebulae. Some loose spirals, some tighter spirals, some ellipsoids or spheres, all of them containing enormous number of individual stars. And as far as our most powerful telescopes can carry, there are more and more of these objects. And up to a distance of a billion light years, we still see these objects. And beyond these, our biggest telescopes at present do not carry. Imagine the most distant of these objects that we can see has sent out the light which we now observe a billion years ago at a time when quite possibly there has been no living being on Earth, although Earth at that time surely existed. Now you may ask, what is beyond this limit? And how big is the universe altogether? We do not know, but we have some indications. First of all these spiral nebulae behave in such a way as though they had been shot out from some place at a given time. You see, if such an explosion, such an incredibly big explosion, would ever have occurred, then the nebulae flying out from there with uniform speed would distribute themselves in such a way that the ones which have moved fastest would be now farthest away. And that is just what we see. The farther a nebula is from us, the faster it moves away. As though all would have come from one neighborhood a long time ago. And you can calculate that this long time was just about 5 billion years ago. And when you look back in the geologic records, in the most ancient geologic records of the Earth, we find that the Earth itself has an age of perhaps 5 billion years. So, perhaps, indeed, there was something like an origin, like a creation, about 5 billion years ago. And perhaps the making of the Earth did not come at a very late stage of this creation. But whether that really was the beginning, or whether there is something on which the white elephant with the golden tusks stands, that nobody knows.